इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू येट अनदर एपिसोड ऑन इतिहास पॉडकास्ट इतिहास 2.0, व्हिच इज वेयर वी आर लुकिंग एट मल्टीपल थिंग्स इन इंडियन हिस्ट्री विद अ ट्विस्ट, विद अ सेंस ऑफ एवोल्यूशन, विद अ सेंस ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग हाउ डिड दे बिकम व्हाट दे आर टुडे। And today I'm going to talk about one such thing which has been a part of most of our lives for decades together, which is popularly known as the idiot box, which is the television. Television actually came to India 6 decades ago, precisely 15th of September 1959. And in the past 6 decades, television has completely changed its format, its texture, its understanding, its perception, its audiences. It's a completely toppled scenario from where we began. And to trace this evolution, today I have with me on this podcast Dr. Ujwala Barve. Dr. Barve has herself been a veteran journalist, a very popular face on television for a long time. And she is also the professor and head at Pune University's Department of Communication and Journalism. So, ma'am, welcome on the podcast. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Since you have been a journalist yourself and also an academic who's into this journalism and communication field for a long time, I want to understand, how are you looking at this evolution of the medium right from when it began in the early 60s to today where we are?
Yes, it's really very interesting to look at, and we are at such a stage that so much option is available right now, and then when you, like, you don't even have the time to look back.
Right.
So I'm really grateful to you for giving me this opportunity to look back and remember those days when television was a novelty.
Yeah.
How the living room of that one person or one family in the entire building that has a television set, and how it was packed on Sunday evenings with all kids and grown-ups and everybody from that building, from so many buildings around, thronging there and being glued to that screen for the Sunday evening movie.
Mm.
From that, we have come to our own individual screens now.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great transition. Going back to how it started, because in a way, I have seen television grow with me, so to say. And as things were, it started in Delhi. And people living in Maharashtra or say Pune, Mumbai, had to wait a little longer. It started in 72, the Mumbai right. Doordarshan Kendra. As I said, we ourselves, my family, got our first television set somewhere around 1980.
Hmm.
I remember going to my friend's aunt's house to watch Chhaya Geet.
Okay.
And some other friend's house to watch the Sunday movie. But why did we do that? Because it was a novelty.
Mm.
And all said and done, no matter how much you enjoy reading, how much pleasure the newspapers gave you and the magazines gave you, moving images have their own appeal.
True.
And that's why in itself, the medium in itself had a great attraction. But added to that was the very interesting programming that Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra offered. Up until, I think, 83 or so, every center produced their own programs and broadcast them in their own areas. We used to see programs produced by Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra. And they had to cater to all linguistic groups. And there was one single channel. So there were programs one after the other in different languages.
Mm.
And that was a very interesting mix. There was a program called Santa Kukdi in Gujarati. And there were some English programs that were imported from either the US or from the Britain. And some very good sitcoms were there in that. Series like I Love Lucy became popular because Doordarshan brought it to Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra. Later, we got what is called as a national network or the right. national hookup. I remember there was a huge debate at that time whether there should be a national network and that will make television Delhi-centric. Because up until then, individual regional centers had complete control over what kind of programs they would like to broadcast.
Mm.
But then, part of it, in all there was 6 hours of programming.
Right.
Doordarshan would start at 5:30 or so in the evening and close by 11:30. 6 hours of programming. And in the morning, there used to be school-based like curriculum-based programs.
Mm.
So the debate was that now Delhi will decide
mm.
what we should watch.
Mm.
And then it will be all in English. this Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra struck a chord with the audiences because the programs were originally made in Marathi and fantastic programs. Now, if somebody goes through the archives, and many a times we refer to the programs like Pratibha and Pratima, Gazra, Chiman Rao, Gundia Bho, of course, Shwetambara. There were those early serials where, I don't know, now technically they may not be so great, but they brought Marathi literature to the screen. They gave some original programming. They were based, entrenched in that particular culture.
Right.
But then the national network started around that time, as you know, around Asiad, that is the Asian Games that were organized in Delhi. Television became colored.
Right.
And that was a big milestone again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, until then, the news also was given by Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra from Mumbai.
Mm.
But after this national network that was established, only the Marathi news remained with the Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra.
Right.
Rest of it was then broadcast from Delhi and it was relayed here in Mumbai. So these are the major milestones as I see in the evolution of Doordarshan. Then came 1990, the Gulf War and the CNN.
Yes.
And the cable explosion. That paved the way for different kind of programming. Because I remember 1991, 1992 or so, Star started beaming into India.
Right.
To begin with, there was one single channel. And that's why it was a general entertainment channel and different kinds of programs were broadcast on it. Some were Chinese, some were Korean, some were Western. That, again, exposed the Indian audiences to a completely different version of television programming.
Yes.
Because they were probably technically far ahead of us. And the way they thought of different programs, the way they designed those programs was much better than what we were used to. For a long time, the cable connections were restricted to a very small group of subscribers.
True.
Primarily in the metros, much penetration in cities like Mumbai, where it was easier to establish the cable network, or Pune, Nashik and all that. But majority of the audience still depended on Doordarshan.
Right.
And that happened for a very long time.
I in fact want to talk to you about it because as a school going kid in a high school, I remember watching you on Mahacharcha, which used to come on Doordarshan. And that Doordarshan then catered to a very large population. And that transcended the city boundaries. So possibly people in city were perhaps not watching it. But there must be a large audience in rural or in suburban sectors which watched programs like Mahacharcha, which you used to anchor. And multiple other such programming on Doordarshan. You know, I am possibly seeking an insider's view here. How did Doordarshan react to, you know, moving from being the only channel or only entity to a possible competition of multiple other private service providers?
Yes, as you said earlier that even when so many private channels had started, Doordarshan still maintained its position, numero uno, because people could not afford cable connections and the conventional television set that comes with a terrestrial antenna. And only Doordarshan could be seen with the terrestrial antenna.
Right.
And that's why, because of this technical advantage, Doordarshan still got a very good viewership. But they had to wake up when this set-top boxes, conditional access system and all that started. They really had to wake up and take stock of the situation as to, do they really have the audience that they thought they had? As for Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra, because you mentioned Mahacharcha and insider's view, I can give you, is that Mr. Mukesh Sharma was the director of Mumbai Doordarshan Kendra. And I strongly believe that government organizations like All India Radio or Doordarshan need dynamic people like Mr. Sharma. Because Mr. Sharma understood the medium very well and he was ready to take risks. Technically, Doordarshan had become autonomous. Like it was under Prasar Bharati Broadcasting Corporation. Technically, it was autonomous. But autonomy is given. But are you ready to take it? Are you ready to practice that way? But he was one person who was ready to do that, who had very good industry connections also. So he tried to make it more people-oriented. He experimented different genres. He experimented with different programs. And Mahacharcha, especially, I mean, I'll just cite that example, that it was a live current affairs discussion program.
Right.
Really current affairs. That was that week's topic was taken up for discussion. Really hot topics. he made it a point to invite the top people related to that issue that is chosen for the discussion. So could be a minister, could be an opposition party member. So imagine the risk, so to say, that they were taking of going live, because you know earlier there were so many restrictions on Doordarshan speakers, what kind of views they can express, they cannot express, but here was a live program. And it turned out that if people are given the opportunity, they are aware of their responsibility. So never ever did we encounter any controversy. And that was, I think, a golden period for some time in case of Doordarshan, where they brought in such good programs. Another advantage that Doordarshan had was they didn't have to think of advertising revenue. They didn't have to think of sponsorships because they are run on government money, that is our money. They could come up with programs that they knew were niche programs, would have limited audience, but still they managed to produce those kind of programs. It was around in the last 10 years or so that Doordarshan, at least the general entertainment channel, has become completely commercial. I don't know how successful they are commercially, but the type of programming that is offered, like they are trying to imitate the soap operas that are there on private television channels. I would expect Doordarshan to be more conscientious and use the medium that they have with more caution, perhaps, or with a motive to bring in, you know, good change in the society, something like that, or the objectives that were set
right
when Doordarshan was founded.
Entertainment, yes, that's another concern, but even for news, for that matter. So, as a kid, I have grown up watching the 7 p.m. Doordarshan news, the Marathi news, and then there was a national bulletin at 9, which was in Hindi. So, I'm sure, like me, most of the people born in those years, Doordarshan used to be a very big part of the childhood. I became a media professional, and this is a thing when I used to work with a television channel in Mumbai. I distinctly remember this, that when Fukushima blast had happened in 2011, all of us had this, and I was with television back then, so all of us were in this great hurry of broadcasting everything related to Fukushima. And we were just scanning what the competition is doing as usual. And we spotted that Doordarshan, when something big like Fukushima has happened, Doordarshan was running a pre-recorded program on beekeeping or something as obscure as that. So this obvious question comes next, that just because they don't have to worry about earning money, does it also mean that they won't care what kind of programming they're doing, or they wouldn't really think of what does the audience actually want? Does that happen somewhere?
To an extent, yes. But the time that you were talking about, I don't know if DD News had become a 24-hour channel back then.
Possibly.
Because not. Because the limitations with the GECR, that you cannot change the timings for a breaking news.
Right.
A GEC has a set schedule. So if you're going to have a children's program at 7 to 7:30, and if, no matter what great breaking news you get, you'll have to wait till the next bulletin, you know. So again, I mean, we'll have to see what was the situation back then. Now that Doordarshan is a 24-hour news channel, I know that they are doing a much better job. And there are some people, including me, who would rather go to Doordarshan News for quiet, calm presentation of news without too many visuals flashing at you. Without anything being termed as breaking news.
Yes.
Without the screaming anchors. So that now that they are into it, and their news gathering has changed.
Right.
Yeah, if you follow it now, they have a very good network of correspondents everywhere. So as a 24-hour news channel, I think it's doing a good job. But of course, they cannot sensationalize. Of course, they are prejudiced towards the government in power.
Right.
All said and done. And that's why people don't like it, because those who want fast news or sensational news, it's not for them.
And I think that's a very valid point, because in this age of, you know, 30 odd news channels running a celebrity suicide / alleged murder 24/7, having a credible source like Doordarshan really matters in such a situation. I would just, you know, finish by asking one last question, and that is about the upcoming competition that TV as a medium overall is facing, and that's with the OTT platforms. Now, I'm sure that most of the TV channels are worried about the kind of competition that OTT is posing, because the people who are in their 20s today, most of them do not watch television. At least a large population of them is what they have been talking. How do you think television overall and Doordarshan in particular will respond to this particular threat slash opportunity?
OTT, of course, is in the realm of entertainment, isn't it? For news, you still have to go to the television news channels, but all the channels or many channels are available on YouTube also.
Right.
And they are available on some OTT platforms also. But again, what we have to think of is, yes, there is a distinct difference between the way the different generations consume the media. It could be the young generation who is more into OTT. But if you have middle-aged and senior citizens, they are still not so conversant with the OTT platforms, and it's an expensive affair.
Yes.
So if one family has one television set with the basic minimum subscription for that set-top box and all that, they can get so many channels within those 200, 300 rupees.
Right.
And nothing can beat it. So if there is only one screen to be shared by all, the conventional television channels for some time to come, because I always give my disclaimer that when it comes to technology, I would rather say that I cannot predict anything.
True.
But if it progresses at the pace that it is progressing now, then maybe at least for the next 5 years or so, the television, the conventional in the sense, right, the television as we understand in the conventional sense, will continue to survive, will continue to experiment. And as for Doordarshan, it may not be commercially very successful, it may not be popular also, but we have to remember that it's a public service broadcaster and it better be there for our own good. No matter how good or bad they are doing, we cannot wish it away, isn't it? Because as I said, at the end of the day, they can give certain kind of programming that private channels won't ever give. And they cater to a completely different set of audience probably now. Commercial channels are centered or targeted at urban audiences.
Yes.
Whereas Doordarshan can take care of people belonging to minority language groups, belonging to distant areas, like you know that they pay special attention to the northeastern states.
Yes.
And they have very good programs, in fact, coming from those areas for everybody to see and for them to see also. That's why we should try and see to it that the public service broadcaster remains there.
Yeah.
And actually, we can try and see if it can be empowered further. I'm an optimist.
As you said, Doordarshan is doing a very crucial task, and that is of bridging all parts of the country together, which is very essential, because we keep on hearing this, that there is an India and there is a Bharat. And both these people live in the same geographical region, and still there is such a divide, which possibly a public service broadcaster like Doordarshan can bridge, and hopefully should bridge. So I think we'll end this wonderful conversation on this positive note, on this optimist note, that the let the institution of public service broadcaster remain and prosper as the time goes by, and possibly 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, it may take a new form, it may reach new audiences, but the existence of TV in general as a medium, and Doordarshan in particular, should be there and should be a part of most of our lives. So thank you very much, ma'am, for joining us on this podcast. We'll stop here for this episode. We'll come up with more episodes like this, so stay tuned.